Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
That's how we're going to solve this problem once and for all. Thank you very much, everybody.
Should Director Sullivan resign?
If it turns out that some of the allegations that have been made in the press are confirmed, then of course I'll be angry.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
Savage Nation, the Secret Service scandal will not go away. Do I have to preface this by saying how great the Secret Service is, what a great job they do, and how 99% of them are upstanding, wonderful citizens? Well, I just said it. But apparently, 21 of them aren't so upstanding. Naked with prostitutes, security breaches possible, even more snotty nonsense by communists. Has published an article saying that the security breach was astounding because Secret Service agents who were naked in the room with the prostitutes had the president's schedule in rooms where they brought the prostitutes, as I told you yesterday. This is not just shenanigans. This is not just boys will be boys. This is not let's just look the other way. This is a major league scandal that goes all the way up to the president. He can't put up a firewall between himself and their behavior. It is his laxness towards the military. It's his lax attitude towards police. It's his lax attitude towards the enemies, foreign and abroad, that has caused this scandal to emerge. That's what I think. What do you think? You can call me if you want. I mean, I'm not going to turn it into a big deal. You could talk also about the GSA at work. Take a look at that prize, that protoplasm with a human face. Take a look at this picture on my website of one of the pieces of protoplasm that works for the government, sitting in a hot tub in Las Vegas with two glasses of wine there with his ugly wife, boasting about how he gamed the system and got a free trip. Take a look at who works for the government. Just take a look at that face. Fit only to work for the federal government. You want another story? It's real easy with Obama. I mean, you could do this show with your hands behind your back. Leon Panetta, the dead ringer for Peter Sellers. But he's defense secretary. First they put him in as CIA director. Then they shuffled him into defense. Every weekend he flies home to Monterey, California. It cost you, the taxpayer, about $860,000 so far for Leon Panetta's trips home. And he pays it back, though, at the cost of an economy class ticket. So they're covering it up, saying he flies on a military jet, a C-17. Well, I investigated it. And the C-17 is actually a $66 million Gulfstream 550. Do you think it's appropriate for Leon Panetta to spend nearly $1 million so far going home every weekend on a G-550? I don't understand how this goes on without any... All right, I don't understand. A lot of things you don't understand, or I don't understand. What else is in the news? Well, a lot is in the news. First of all, by the way, I want to thank you, number one. You made Trickle-Down Tyranny number two on the Wall Street Journal's bestseller list without virtually any other promotion. But my website, which is a huge deal, huge number of hits on the website, and my listenership, number two on the Wall Street Journal's bestseller list. Thank you very much for taking Trickle-Down Tyranny right to the top of the charts. Now, it has to stay in the presence of the mind of the public until the election, because it'll be a complete disaster unless this book is seen until the election. We have a tyrant in the White House that's going to become even more tyrannical unless Romney is elected. Let's not anymore modify the Romney. We know Romney's a mild-mannered milquetoast. We know he is Mr. Milquetoast. But I'd rather have Mr. Milquetoast than Mr. Lennon. Who do you think should be blamed for the Secret Service deal? Number one. Do you understand what I'm saying to you about the possible security breach? Do you understand when these gentlemen dropped their drawers, what they were doing? Do you understand this? 21 agents dropped their drawers in Cartagena, Colombia. 21 hookers were brought in. Or is it 11 now? It says 11 were placed. Then there were soldiers involved. These are full-fledged agents. These are not trainees. These are not bouncers that were given credentials. So, who do you blame? Well, you blame nobody. It's like Clinton again. The degenerate Democrats say it's none of our business. It's their personal business. That's the standard answer from Debbie Wasserman Schultz. That type. Ah, come on. Now you all do it. It's just shenanigans. Come on. You know, the Boca Raton answer. But this is serious business. The only other person who's defending this action is Senator John the Boob McCain. John the Boob McCain defended the agents in the service, calling them outstanding. I don't know what they have on him, but he says, I'm confident the overwhelming majority of Secret Service people did not engage in this kind of behavior. Well, that's quite a statement, John. Of course the overwhelming majority didn't. We're not talking about the overwhelming majority. We're talking about the few who did. So why are you suddenly dummying up for them? Why would McCain dummy up for this activity in Cartagena? What do they got on him? I mean, I don't even want to know, frankly. Oh, I got chest pains from this story already before we even started. Why do you think this happened? Obama picked these agents, didn't he? Now, by the way, at the press conference today, someone shouted out. Did you hear the shout out? Play the shout out today. Let's hear a woman. Finally, we have a woman in the press with guts. Listen.
That's how we're going to solve this problem once and for all. Thank you very much, everybody.
Should Director Sullivan resign?
See? Finally, a woman with testosterone. The men have all been gelded. The only men allowed in the briefing room probably don't even wear briefs. They probably wear panties. Oklahoma City, Mark, your opinion counts. You're on the Savage Nation. Mark, you're on the radio. What's on your mind?
Look, Mike, this is no big deal. I mean, with problems.
Mark, who are you? You know, you have the same voice. You call from Utah, California. You call from Oklahoma City, Tennessee. Who are you really?
My real name is Mark, just like I said.
But you're not from Oklahoma City. So why are you making such stupid calls? Why do you waste our time? You're just a setup caller.
What's the big deal if they get a little on the side, huh? Tell me.
If you're too stupid to understand something that even the idiots at MSNBC understand with regard to a security breach, why do you even listen to radio if you can't even understand what we're talking about?
I understand very well what I'm talking about, but I think you're an idiot yourself.
No, you understand what you're talking about, but not what anyone else is talking about.
I know exactly what I'm talking
about. MSNBC, which is in the president's pocket, says there's a possible security breach because the Secret Service agents had the president's schedule in the rooms. Doesn't that bother you?
No, there's a bunch of bodyguards. That's all they are. They're glorified security guards. So what?
Wait, let's see what you just said. Just security guards, just bodyguards. And you mean having the president schedule while they're naked laying on a table doesn't give away their job as a security agent? It doesn't breach their job? It doesn't breach their responsibility as a bodyguard?
Do you think some $45...
All right, don't ask a question. I'm not in a Talmud Academy here. Okay, you know, this guy, I don't want him on the show anymore. He sounds like an idiot living in a mental hospital who calls over and over again under every different name in every different city. Get him out of my life. Try to memorize that voice. Put it in the voice recognition system and send it to the Secret Service and find out who he works for. West Virginia, Bruce, you're on the Savage Nation.
Mike, I have to tell you, my 15-year-old son, he's you have him hooked and... You've had such an influence on him, and a positive one. He is
good.
He goes to school.
Well, good. Let him stay on this path because maybe he'll remain a loyal American as opposed to an Obamaite.
Now, shame on me because I haven't got him your new book, but he's a big.
Well, he just likes the fact that somebody says it the way they see it. They call him like they see him. I'm like Casey Stengel used to be for the Dodgers. I don't mince my words thinking about what someone might think of me. This is one man's opinion. Whether it is the truth is for you to decide. Tell your son he's getting a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. I thank you for listening to the show. This is the Savage Nation. You have anything else to say? What else is in the news? I read you a lot of other stuff. I mean, there's a lot of other news out there. The other big news are the bums in the GSA going to Vegas on your money on an $800,000 conference, taking one trip after another and billing it to you, saying, laughing on tape, they're saying, oh, if you want them to pay for our meals, say we're giving out an award. They made up awards in order to justify trips to Las Vegas for the government. You know what? You read my book and you see what I said I would do if I were elected, but I'm never going to be elected because I'm not running. It's my advice to the next president. What is my advice to the next president? Cut every federal government department by 10% a year until you shave off 30%, because there's no need for 30% of these deadbeat workers. And while you're at it, cut the pensions of everybody by 20% overnight using an executive order. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Sources tell us among those involved were two Secret Service supervisors, three members of the elite counter-assault team, whose job it is to repel attacks on the president's motorcade, and three members of the counter-sniper team, those officers with rifles who scout for threats from the tops of buildings.
Isikoff also reports none of the agents was part of the president's personal detail, but had hard copies of the president's schedule.
If the prostitutes...
All right, here's enough. I don't like Isikoff. Isikoff's an anti-military snot. He put the knife into the Marines a long time ago. But nevertheless, in this case, we're listening to Isikoff. Since he holds himself up as a red diaper dopa baby expert on things military, even this left-wing anti-military slime, Isikoff, is saying that the agents involved in the Hooker scandal at Hookergate were part of a personal detail in some way, in the sense that they were members of the elite counter-assault team. And they had the president's schedule, which they could have given to a foreign intelligence service or to a terrorist group, meaning the hookers could have, or someone who snuck in the room. This is a big deal. This is Hookergate. This is one of the biggest embarrassments to Obama. Now you say, well, why are you jumping all over it? Because the man has so many scandals that he can escape because of the obvious reasons that I don't have to go into them every time I say a word about Obama. Do I have to second guess myself? Do I have to say a mea culpa? I won't do it anymore. Let's start with the fact that the last NASA rocket was sent to a museum today. That's impeachable, what he did to NASA. This president took apart the military, starting with NASA. He is destroying us from top to bottom, and he gets away with it. The only reason you're paying attention to the Hooker scandal is because you're a lowlife. You're a lowlife whose brain has been destroyed by the media, where all you think about is sex, 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 sex. So since sex is on your mind, because your mind has been destroyed by the vermin in Hollywood and the vermin in the news business who pump the garbage into your brain through the sewer pipes of the media and the sewer pipes of Hollywood, I'll talk about the sex scandal in Cartagena, and then maybe I'll bring you back to all the other scandals, which I point out in Trickle Down Tyranny, dummy. One after the other. Destroying the most advanced space program in the world, the most advanced the world had ever seen. This communist destroyed it with the stroke of a pen. He took out NASA. He put our astronauts on a Russian space shuttle. That is impeachable what he did. But nothing. Major Nadal Hassan, Fort Hood massacre. He didn't occur under his watch, did it? But why hasn't Nadal Hassan been brought to trial? Why? Why is Obama covering this up? Why is Panetta covering this up? Why is Hassan being pushed aside? Why are you not hearing about the Fort Hood massacre? Because you're only caring about sex, 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 and some idiot in Hollywood with her boyfriend, him buying her an engagement ring for 10 days. Brad Pitt buys Angela Jolie an engagement ring. And this is news. Is it no wonder we still have a nation, let alone that we have a nation at all, with this kind of idiocy in the media? 10 days, a PR story, that useless idiot actor buys that has-been, that over-the-hill has-been. Angela Jolie got an engagement ring. 10 days in the news. 10 days in the news. So all you care about is salacious material. That's how brain dead you are. You watch a bunch of uneducated goons over and over again with no talent, no education, and they're paraded before you like a movie star, like America's Elite. And who does Obama have to the White House over and over again? Do I have to repeat to you the lowlifes that are invited into the White House? Al Sharpton in the National Day of Prayer inside the White House? Do I have to repeat what this man does to the nation's morals every day in the sense of breaking down our morale? Do I have to tell you what he has done to the military in this country? To the budget in this country? You don't want to hear it anymore. I wrote 300 pages with references. You don't want to hear, you don't want to read trickle-down tyranny. No, you don't want to read any of that. So we'll talk about the Secret Service story until eventually it seeps out to the general masses of idiots out there. The big blob called America. The big blob called America that stuffs itself with sugar and fat and salt and doesn't know whether it's even a human being anymore. The blob called America that is so drugged up it doesn't even understand what it is anymore. It has almost no human features left inside its soul from what the media has done to it. So we'll talk about what you want to hear about. Cartagena. You want to hear about the Columbia hooker scandal, Hookergate, because maybe that will awaken you in time to save you from what's coming next. Because if this tyrant in chief is elected again, Junior Doc will become Popper Doc as sure as I'm sitting here. And he's liable to eliminate term limits. He will be president for life. You say, come on, Savage, he couldn't do that. You don't even know what this man is doing by executive order. Every day he's signing executive orders, stealing more and more power. Every day this man smiles and behind the scenes, in the middle of the night, signs executive orders. And the Republicans sit there like punching bags, like dummies. And where's Romney? Find Waldo. Where's Waldo Romney? Where is he? Where is Romney? Where is Romney? Where is Romney? Who is Romney? What is Romney? Where is Romney? Who is Romney? Where is Romney? Where is Romney? How is Romney? Who is Romney? Find Waldo. Find Waldo. See what Waldo has to say about the Secret Service scandal. See what Waldo has to say about NASA. See what Waldo has to say about the Fort Hood massacre. See if you can get Waldo to say anything. See if you can find Waldo and Wallbanger. See, Waldo and Wallbanger are seen together very often.
Savage.
So would you rather I give you a meatball recipe? Make me laugh, Mike. Mike, tell me a funny story about you wearing dead man's pants, Mike. Mike, why don't you talk about Teddy? Mike, why don't you talk about shoes? Mike, why don't you talk about fishing? Mike, tell me about your boat. Is that what you'd like to hear? I could do that. I could do it very well. How about some lifestyle questions? I'm not going to do it. I just don't have the mood for it. I mean, we're like at the last minutes here of this country. You don't see it, I see it. I see Obama and how he's destroying the U.S. military. I wrote chapter after chapter about it. Why do you care about the military? Why do you care about the Fort Hood massacre? What do you care about any of that stuff for? All you care about is she's dating and who she's not dating and who bought who an engagement ring and what Murdoch puts into your brain. The sewer pipe that comes out of Murdoch's factories goes right into your mind, and then he covers it up with Wallbanger and Leprechaun to make you think that it's a serious outfit. Taxation without representation. Let us talk about taxation without representation. Every schoolboy learns that that's what caused the American Revolution. Taxation without representation. Really? Obamacare includes tax hikes for Medicare payroll tax, health savings account withdrawals, companies that manufacture medical devices, people who suffer from serious medical conditions and itemize their medical expenses on their tax returns. They're all getting a tax hike. People with special needs children, tax hike. Retirees who get drug benefits as part of their pensions, tax hike. Charitable hospitals, tax hike. Companies that develop new drugs, tax hike. Health insurance, insurers, tax hikes. See, eventually, if you let this dictator get away with his lame-brained university mentalities, ideas, we will have health care as they have in Cuba, where you have unqualified doctors, dirty clinics, and no drugs for the average person. That's called confiscation. That's what Obamacare is, taxation without representation. And it's all based upon one thing and one thing only. It's based upon graft and corruption. Because what you don't understand is that when you finagle, which is much more than 1/6 of the American economy, when you finagle something that's liable to turn into 1/4 of the American economy under the guise of, you know, extending health care to all. Tell me how many contracts have been given to various and sundry congressmen and senators, friends and cronies. Well, let's start with Solyndra. You know about that one. Did you know that it cost $205,000 to move one bush in San Francisco in Nancy Pelosi's backyard as they rebuild a highway with stimulus funds? Shovel-ready jobs, $205,000 to translocate one shrub from the path of a stimulus project right underneath Pacific Heights. $205,000 to move an ordinary shrub with stimulus funds. Now, where did the money come from and where does the money go? I think you can pretty much figure out it came from your pockets, and it goes to the friends' pockets of those who are behind the stimulus project. But this is chicken feed compared to Obamacare. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I can't talk about meatballs and Teddy right now. I can't do it. I can't do it. First of all, things are too serious. Second of all, my mood is not set up for this kind of nonsense. And third of all, I think that the hooker scandal is indicative of a laxness throughout the entire Obama administration with regard to the military and regard to our national security. The very same laxness that he expresses towards our real enemies, as I point out in Trickle-Down Tyranny, in entire chapters. Well, let me read you something, not from the book, because you're bored of it by now. But I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to answer it honestly. Let's say you're a middle-of-the-roader, you're not a Savage Nation listener, you're a jaundiced, cynical American, and you don't believe a word that I write or that I say, but you enjoy my energy, you enjoy the activity of the show, and you figure it's entertaining, and it's all a burlesque of some sort. So let me ask you something. Do you agree with any of the following statements? Do you agree in America under Obama, poverty is rewarded? Check yes or no. Do you agree under Obama, success is punished in the guise of fairness? Check yes or no. Do you agree or disagree that our worst enemies are praised, such as radical Islamists in the Middle East who were invited to the White House, while our allies like Israel are stiffed? Check yes or no. Do you agree that the military is being used as a pawn by Obama, using the Navy SEALs as a publicity stunt while cutting the military to the bone? Yes or no. Do you believe that under Obama our borders are descending into chaos? Yes or no. Do you agree or disagree that our corporations and cronies, that corporations and cronies are making off with all the wealth while the economy flatlines men like Warren Buffet and his other deep-pocketed campaign donors are running off with fat grants and contracts? If you said yes to most of those statements, then you now agree with Michael Savage, who says, welcome to the newly created Union of Socialist States of America. And so you may find out that it's not all a laughing hour here. It's not just laughing. And you may understand that Trickle-Down Tyranny is a must book for your bookshelf. And that Alinsky Jr., must be seen in order to be heard. And that is all I have to say to you. Economies can be rebuilt, armies can be repopulated, but once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored. That's poetry. I wrote it. Every writer dreams of one line that will be remembered. That's my single best line next to liberalism is a mental disorder, which is a title but a truism. Liberalism is a mental disorder is a statement that is so shockingly real and true that it's now become common parlance. But the statement I just read to you, economies can be rebuilt, armies can be repopulated, but once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored, is poetry. And only I can create poetry in nonfiction. Only I can take my poetic background, my literary background, my ability as a poet and as a novelist, and put it into a nonfiction book as I did in Trickle Down Tyranny. It is a work of art, and it's one that can save this country. If only we had a Republican Party. If only we had a loyal opposition. If only. But you see, we don't. We only have the people. And you see, every 4 years, we live in a dictatorship. Make no mistake about it. And by the way, that applies to Republicans and Democrats alike. So let me clear the air. We live in a dictatorship punctuated by elections. That's how this country works. You don't know that. You're not a free man. You know that. And I don't have to reiterate the prison that you live in. You're not a free man from the minute you wake up until the minute you go to sleep. So we live in a sort of prison, and it's punctuated with an illusion of freedom every 4 years when they come to us for their votes, and they pretend that we're a republic or a democracy. That's the only chance that we have once in a while to express ourselves. But even that's being jury-rigged. It's being jury-rigged by Obama granting backdoor amnesty through Janet Napolitano to millions of illegal aliens. As you sleep, he signs executive orders granting them the right to be citizens and to vote, de facto citizens, so they can rig up the election system. You have state after state demanding voter ID laws. What's wrong with that? Anyone have a problem with a voter ID law? You need an ID to go into a bar. You need an ID to drive a car. You need an ID to go into a movie theater sometimes. You need an ID to go into a nightclub, but you don't need an ID to go into a voting booth. So the states say, yeah, well, we want it because there's too many people double voting, triple voting, non-citizens voting. And Obama says, I'm suing the states to make sure illegal aliens can vote and that people can come and vote in any district they want over and over again. And again, there's no outcry, impeachable offense. I pointed all out and trickle down tyranny, crushing Obama's dream of the socialist states of America. I am making an appeal to you. I'm appealing to you to listen to me before it's too late. Because I'm going to wager a bet right now. Which matters is whether you'll be free enough to read any book you want, free enough to listen to any radio show you want, free enough to gain access to any internet site that you want. I doubt it. I doubt it by what I see going on. And now I'll take your calls because I've said my piece. I've said my piece. It's like we're living in ancient Rome watching this grotesque abuse of power. It is a grotesque arrogance and a grotesque abuse of power unlike any I've seen in my lifetime. Ever in America. It is like something that occurs in a banana republic. Something you would expect in Uruguay, not in the United States of America. So what would you like to talk about? The Secret Service hooker scandal, the GSA scandal in Las Vegas, a Panetta scandal, Panettagate, using a G550 to fly home to Monterey every weekend and paying $700 for the flight. It's unbelievable to me. Here's another caller. Now, I'm going to take a call right now that really is a whole other area. Here we go. Michael in New York on WOR. This is a great call. Go ahead.
Hi, Michael. I just want to make the point that I remember way back when Bush was president, and this relates to your point that even if these agents predated Obama, their activities actually directly stem from his activities. And I remember when Bush was the president.
But no, wait. You don't mean that. No, you don't mean the president engaged in the same activities. No one's saying that. What are you referring to?
This is what I mean. When President Bush was president, you weren't allowed to walk into the Oval Office. And when I say you weren't allowed to, even the president himself instituted for himself the rule applied, he would not walk into the Oval Office without a tie and a jacket.
Well, right. He was an uptight white man. See, he wasn't loose and down with the people. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now they wear cutoffs and flip-flops and use skateboards in the East Room. See, that's the real presidency. That's the real presidency of the people, is to wear tank tops, to be seen in shorts in the White House. That's the kind of president America really wanted.
And I remember the first day of the administration, the publicly released photo was him just in a shirt. And I remember the newspaper saying, yeah, well, now people will feel more comfortable coming.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The object is to feel more comfortable. That's right.
And
The 49% of pay no taxes can relate to the president. He dresses like them.
I think when the
All right, thanks for the call. I can't do this anymore. I really can't. My mind is already somewhere else. It's unbelievable to me. All they do is tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I started out wearing dead man's pants. I started out with nothing. Everything I've achieved is because I earned it. I didn't take a dime from anybody. And you want to take away every dime I make and give it to some deadbeat drug addict bum? You want me to give them more money? I'd rather give them less money. I'd rather see everybody in America taxed. I'd like to see the poorest worker taxed. I'd like to see the middle person taxed. And I'd like to see the gangsters at the top taxed much more than they're taxed. But don't tell me you're going to tax them. You and I both know that the buffets are never going to get taxed. You know that buffet chooses from the buffet line of tax proposals as to which one he wants Obama to push. And he will only push from the buffet that which taxes him least, not that which taxes him most. And for all of these congressmen, these Democrat frauds, they stink to high heaven. You should pay your fair share. We don't like the rich. It's unbelievable to me. Attacking Romney because he made a living? Attacking Romney because he put a dog on the roof of a car years ago? That's a campaign issue? Not what Obama's doing today? Who listens to them? So, that's it. Pennsylvania, Mike, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Well, one of the things I wanted to say is I agree with everything that you said on before when answering yes to every question that you ask. And even though I don't agree with you every time I listen to you, for some reason I keep coming back to listen to you. But what I wanted to say was this whole thing with the Secret Service agents and with the GSA and that party that they had in Las Vegas.
Right.
I see it. It goes along with your trickle down. The title on your book, Trickle Down Conspiracy, is it trickles down from the top. The whole crew is out there having a party, just like the president and his several
yep.
vacations. His wife and him flying on two different planes, charging
right.
so much money that we're paying for whenever, instead of consolidating and trying to...
It's like a Roman orgy. The Obamas are abusing the American taxpayer and getting away with it. And then there's Hillary laughing with a bottle of beer with her friends in a nightclub at 3 in the morning. That's a Secretary of State's behavior?
No, it's not. But that's what their behavior is. That's what her behavior is. And that's not what the leader of our country, our Secretary of State, the First Lady should be doing. But unfortunately, this is what we have. I voted against him last time whenever he ran against McCain. I thought McCain was the lesser of two evils, and I'm really disgusted with the Republican Party, that I've been a Republican my whole life, and they give me nothing to vote with, nothing to vote for. And they give
I
me
understand.
Nothing.
Now, Mike, the screen says you're a retired FBI agent. Is that correct?
That's correct. 25 years.
Okay, so you were in the FBI when it was a whole different culture within the FBI, going almost back to the post-Hoover days, correct?
I started in 1977.
Well, okay, but I'm saying the rules were those of J. Edgar Hoover, correct?
Oh, yes. It was very, very tight. It was very, very well-kept ship.
Right, and no American who was a law-abiding American had to fear the FBI. Nobody I ever knew feared the FBI then. Today, everybody in the news business fears the FBI and DHS and fears every intelligence agency in this country, Mike. This is a change in this country, and it's coming from Obama. He's threatening us. He threatened the Supreme Court 2 weeks ago. That's why my title, Trickle Down Tyranny, is so darn important, Mike. One other thing I want to mention before I send you a copy of the book. You prefaced your call to this show by saying you listen to me, even though you don't agree with me most of the time, right? But you listen to me and you don't know why you keep coming back. And that is because much of what I say is shocking, and you are a man trained to control your emotional outlets, to control your emotional thinking. I know what I'm saying. And so therefore, when you hear a man with an outburst like this, but he's right, it's hard to listen to him because you can't believe that I'm right. But the more you listen to me, the more you realize it resonates with your own inner thinking. Am I right about that?
You're right about that.
Well, Mike, let's not go any further. I don't want to put you into a state where you have any anxiety or this. I'm not here to make anyone uncomfortable other than the voter. But everything you said is true, Michael. And I'm going to send you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. Here's a news break up on the Drudge Report. Romney lashes out at Obama media. Where did Waldo come from? Where did he come? Wait a minute. Let me see the story. Romney rips media, vast left-wing conspiracy. Well, that's original. That's very original. Oh, he went on another marginal news site, I see. But the Savage Nation he never heard of. Oh, my, Mitt, are you being undermined? You are being undermined by the enemy within, Mitt Romney. Listen to me. The same stooges who destroyed McCain are destroying you. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Okay, this just reported. This is breaking news in the Savage Nation. An appeals court, federal appeals court, just upheld Arizona's voter ID requirement in a 2004 Arizona law, which said that voters must show ID before they can cast ballots. And strangely, this is from a 12-member panel of the most liberal, most often turned Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiels. They said that there is, they upheld the Arizona voter ID law. Here's some other good news, since we don't want to be too negative and be blamed of depressing people. This is a beautiful story, because you know that global warming is a fraud. You know that it's a scam in order to grab your money and to fund scientists who should be arrested for fraud. Some Himalayan glaciers are actually growing in ice, scientists find. Astronauts on board the International Space Station recently took advantage of their unique vantage point to photograph the Himalayas, and they found out that a portion of one of the ranges may actually be getting bigger, according to a study published in the April issue of the journal Nature Geoscience. And so, therefore, don't tell that to Al Gorleone, the head of the Gorleone crime family, which includes every climate fraud artist in the world. The Gorleone crime family, which apparently doesn't want you to know that the glaciers are growing, will not report this. So there it is. So the Earth is not dying. The Earth will not turn into a cinder in your lifetime. There's no need to fear the death of the world. But okay, you will anyway, because you've been brainwashed since, what, 10 years now? What else is in the news? American couple ID'd as cruise disaster victims. Okay. Here's a shocker. Police handcuffed Georgia kindergarten student for tantrum. You hear this? They put a kindergarten student in handcuffs because she was throwing things in the room. They called the cops. She wouldn't calm down. They cuffed the child and threw her into a holding cell. I don't believe the country I'm living in. TSA agents. What's happening that police will handcuff a kindergarten child? How does this go on? Where are the fathers? Where did the fathers go in America? Where did the fathers go? You got sickos feeling up women at airports under the guise of a government agent.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Turn it off. That stinks. All right. Welcome to the Savage. Play Shaboom better. I was going to open with Shaboom just because I needed to lighten up the... I like the Hanani Ding Dong. Especially since we're talking about the hooker gate. I think Hanani Ding Dong makes sense to me. Official song of the Secret Service in Colombia. Shaboom. God. We're talking about Hookergate, which is a big scandal because it comes, you know, they say a fish rots from the head down. So this lax attitude towards national security is reflected in the lax attitude of the Secret Service and Obama. Let's be clear. And even left-wing outlets are now saying there was a great risk to the president as a result of this because, you know, his schedule was left, could have been left in the room, et cetera, and so on. So to me, it's a reflection of the laxness towards issues of such grave importance to our both domestic and national security. I mean, what president would say we don't want a voter ID law? What president would say we want illegal aliens to vote or people to vote five times without saying it? What president would destroy NASA, the greatest instrument of space travel ever created by a nation over a 50-year period, destroyed by the stroke of a pen by one transformational Marxist president? How's that for a sentence for you? So, look, that's the story. Let's take the calls. Ernie in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, your anger is quite merited, and I can see the frustration in your voice. The thing that I was calling about was about why I find you so appealing, which is your clarity of thought. I mean, you are not trained as an attorney, but clearly you think like one. And yeah, everything
unfortunately, you're correct. Well, let's talk about that. For it's an interesting statement. You're obviously an attorney, but you see, if anything, law school, if it prepares someone for anything at all, it's clear thinking. By the way, let's put aside all of the jokes and the moral judgments and my egregious statements about lawyers. Law school sharpens a person's mind. It should make one think much more clearly about everything that they write, for example, correct?
Yes.
Okay, but so does science. And one of the first rules I learned in my training as a young scientist was that science writing requires the most succinct use of words. In other words, fewer words are better than more words. So that sharpens your thinking. You don't waste words in a science paper any more than you should in a legal brief. Unfortunately, those rules no longer apply, whether it be in science or in law. You know, there's an awful lot of wasted rhetoric.
Exactly. And the thing that I wanted to point out to you tonight, because of what I perceive to be somewhat clouded thinking, and it's a rarity for you, is that you're missing the point with regards to Romney and the media. You're right. The media is controlling things to a great extent. I mean, people think that the pipeline is really about environmentalists pushing Obama in a direction rather than, as you put it, buffet, which is the real reason we don't have the pipeline. By the way, because he owns a railroad.
Well, we know that Buffet didn't want the pipeline because he controls the trains that bring the oil. And, of course, Buffet killed the pipeline, and his puppet in the White House killed the pipeline for him. But what's your main point? Where do I have it wrong? Tell me where I have it wrong.
Well, you remember Marshall McLuhan saying the media is a message? Well, that's sort of what we have here. Romney is not saying anything because no one is allowing him to say anything. I mean, where
right. is... See, this is where you're wrong. You've just hung yourself by your own petard, counselor, because you accuse me of having clouded thinking when it's you who just made a statement that's completely false. You said the media ignores Romney, right?
No, not necessarily.
Wait a minute. That's what you just said. The media, you can't blame Romney because they're ignoring him, right?
Ignoring his message.
Okay. How do you explain him ignoring the Savage Nation? You're going to blame the media for that?
No, his handlers, obviously. They're saying...
Well, so don't blame the media. Romney himself refuses to face the largest independent audience in America. So you can't blame the media for that?
No, that's his fault. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about...
Yeah, and by the way, if Romney can't see around his handlers, he'd make a terrible president.
That's a good point. Yeah,
look, McCain was run by those handlers right off the highway. And I see the same thing happening to Romney, which is why I try every day to criticize him, because I'm praying it will break through to one of his sons or one of his handlers that we do know what he's doing, and he is not doing himself a favor by ignoring the single largest independent audience of voters in the country.
It's a mistake, but not a fatal flaw. I mean, the fact that he doesn't go on your program, I think, is a mistake, because he has an audience that could be receptive to what he has to say, but the fact that he doesn't go doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be, a bad president. I don't think the two.
I didn't say he'd be a bad president. What I said was, if he's not smart enough to see around his advisors, then he may not be smart enough to be the president of the United States.
Like I said,
by the way, I don't think Romney's that smart. By the way, I think he'd make a better president than Obama, and I'd vote for him. But the more I watch him, I don't think he's that clever.
You're right. He doesn't have the right presence that you would normally expect from someone.
Does he strike you as a particularly sharp individual? I think he's a reasonably intelligent, decent individual, but very sharp? No.
Well, that concerns me. He has a sense of hesitancy,
He's like a corporate executive with a sense of propriety that is very, very nice in a church group, but may not be required in the rough and tumble area of politics. He needs to get more visceral. He needs to attack Obama more viscerally. He needs to attack the Democrats. He needs to attack the grotesque spending. He needs to do so with some passion, which is why most people are not responding to him. Of course, they're saying he's the lesser of two evils and I'll vote for him. But that's not the same as saying we love the man.
Then again, look at Obama. He's visceral. He's a pit bull, and yet his message and everything he has to say is obviously anathema to what you're considering to be.
But wait a minute. But because Obama is visceral, because Obama is a pit bull in sheep's clothing, he is getting his message and his ways across. His policies are enacted on a regular basis without any voting whatsoever with executive order. His policies are being enacted. This is something that Romney should be pointing out every time Obama strokes, signs a pen at the stroke of midnight. Obama should be talking at 12:01 a.m. saying foul ball.
Well, I have my fingers crossed that Romney changes in the next couple of months. You know, that's
My fingers are not crossed. However, I will send you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny, and then you can judge for yourself whether I'm fogged or not. Oklahoma City, Michael, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Doc. Hey, I caught you on Laura Ingraham this morning, and even if I didn't know the both of you from the radio and never heard you before, you could tell that this was two great minds working in perfect harmony.
It's true. I'm a highly educated man. Laura Ingraham is highly educated. We're two of the most highly educated people in talk radio. We never talk about it because we're in an age of the opposites, where you're supposed to say that you never went to school, that you went to junior high school and no further. But I'm actually proud of the fact that I earned two master's degrees and a real PhD. And Laura is a real attorney. I mean, she was a Supreme Court, a clerk in the U.S. Supreme Court for Clarence Thomas. She's a very distinguished person. So, yes, when you hear us talk, we bring out the best in each other.
It's a fact. And one thing that I love about the both of you is you're not in this for the money. You don't.
No, I'm not in it for the money. No, I am not in it for the money. No, I am not in it for the money. If my book, which is number two on the lists right now, became number one and sold a million copies, it wouldn't change my lifestyle one iota. Not one iota. All it would do is leave more money for the conservative scholarship fund I'm trying to set up.
Well, I wish you all the best in getting that done. And I'd like to make one comment about China and how we could get China to have a little more influence on North Korea. Currently, and for the past probably 20 years, according to the History Channel, China has a ship in every major port in this country, and they're hauling our scrap and iron out of here by the megatons.
You touched on a raw nerve with me. I'm a boater in San Francisco Bay. For 7 years, I've been reporting about the 24/7 conveyor belts running scrap metal out of Oakland, California, into waiting ships, going from scrap yards to conveyor belts onto Chinese ships, bringing them to China, which they're turning into bombs and bullets. It's a direct repeat of the Japanese situation in World War II in the 1930s. Just before World War II, the Japanese were buying up every piece of scrap metal they could get their hands on from the United States of America. And the fact is, there used to be a 3rd Avenue elevated train in New York City. I was told as a young boy by my dad that as they tore down the 3rd Avenue L, all this scrap metal was sold to Japan. And Japan made it into what? Ships, planes, tanks, bayonets, bullets, and hand grenades. I'll be right back. Hey, wait. Before we go to break, I need to talk to you about incomeathome.com. We've started a work-from-home revolution. Our listeners are so tired of this economy, job insecurities, and living paycheck to paycheck that they're taking action. About 1,000 people a month are discovering the genius of starting their own home business through incomeathome.com, like John Ball. You talk about bad luck. You see, he lost his job and was in foreclosure when he heard about incomeathome.com. So he thought, well, why not? Today, John runs his own home business. He earns over $5,000 a month and just won a new Porsche in his business contest. Look, not everyone gets a Porsche and earns thousands a month. But doesn't earning money from home sound smart anyway? Incomeathome.com helps our listeners get up and running in days. No pressure. No matter your age, education, or experience, you can literally earn money on your computer from your kitchen table. And check out their $1,000 giveaway at incomeathome.com. Incomeathome.com. Results not average. Visit the website to see the results you can expect.
Savage.
We are talking about Hookergate. This is a big scandal that goes all the way to the head of the fish because the laxness towards national security that is exemplified by the president, the laxness in comportment that is expressed by the senior staff is trickling down, frankly, to the entire government. So let's move on now from Hookergate to, I don't know what gate we can call this one, but you know the scandal now, the whole scandal of the GSA, joking about their conferences during a pay freeze. They were giving each other bonuses. They went to Vegas for an $800,000 conference that was totally useless. And to top it all off, it comes out now, thanks to the Republicans and thanks to Daryl Issa, that they were saying to each other, they caught them saying, you know what? We can get them to pay for our meals if we claim we're going to give awards. We can call it an award ceremony. We can go anywhere and get all of our meals and trips paid for. So take a look at the slob who works for the GSA. I got a picture of him on my website, Michael Savage. Look at him in a hot tub in Las Vegas with his wife, a doll he's got there, a real doll with the two glasses of wine. They sure deserve each other, don't they? This jerk took the Fifth Amendment yesterday repeatedly. I hadn't heard this since the Valachi papers. When have you last heard government employees taking the Fifth Amendment before a congressional hearing? That usually occurred when you had organized crime called before a congressional hearing, like the McClellan hearing. You had organized criminals saying, refuse to answer on the grounds that I might incriminate myself. Now you have the Obama administration doing this regularly. You have the Solyndra officials doing it because they didn't want to incriminate themselves by telling the truth. So now listen to some of this exchange between Representative Jason Chaffetz, not a Democrat, ripping into the former GSA chief on bonuses in clips 14, 15, 16.
Why were you giving out bonuses when the president said there was a pay freeze?
The senior executives were entitled to bonuses under our I don't believe the pay freeze affected those bonuses.
Would the gentleman yield for just one question?
As long as it doesn't take some of my time.
The gentlelady just seemed to say entitled. I thought it was that they were possibly going to be granted. Entitlement seems to be a question the gentleman may want to follow up on.
I apologize. I did not mean entitled.
Oh, I think you did mean entitlement. I think that's the fundamental problem that America gets and that government doesn't get. There are a lot of good federal employees who work hard. They're patriotic and they're frugal with their money. But when you see this widespread abuse of money, and then you mm-hmm. as the former administrator, said, well, they were entitled to it. That's where there's frustration just steaming out of our ears. It is totally unacceptable. And for the president of the United States to look the American people in the eye and say, well, we got a pay freeze in place while you're getting bonuses and going on trips is totally unacceptable.
Now, this is all about one $800,000 conference, only one. But I will remind you, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage jury, that Leon Panetta, the Secretary of Defense, has spent $800,000 of taxpayer money in jet trips from Washington, D.C. to his home in Monterey, California every weekend since he took the job. Now, they say he's flying in a military jet, a C-17. I looked it up. It sounds like, oh, it's a C-17. What's that? Some old, codgety old transporter. A G-17 is a misnomer because what he's really flying on is a $66 million G-550. He could fly on a G-3, a G-4, but no, he's not even flying on a G-5. He's flying on a G-550 under the guise of a military transport. But don't worry now, Mr. Panetta is paying you back. He's paying you back at the rate of a coach ticket. But it's a full coach ticket, you see, from coast to coast. Full coach ticket. In a G-550. That's a good deal. I'd love to fly and pay a full coach fare in a G-550, wouldn't you? Well, it's nice to be king, isn't it? Isn't it nice to be king and be surrounded by kings and queens? That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Now, you know, of course, if Bush was in power and a Secretary of Defense did this, oh, all the brave capons in the media would be screaming to high heaven. If the Defense Secretary under Bush dared use a G550 to go home to Washington State every weekend. The capons at ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News, if you take all those letters and throw them into a hat and jumble them together, what they spell is PROPAGANDA. But all of those people in the propaganda ministries would be screaming to high heaven if it was a Republican doing such a thing. But no, they look the other way when it comes to Leon Panetta. It's unbelievable to me, the world I'm living in. Where's the Tea Party? Will it still be fired up for the election, or will it be a factor? They were threatened by the Congressional Black Caucus. Then the head of the union, the AFL-CIO, said, we're going to take them out. That, to me, seemed like a physical threat to their survival. And we've had reports of their license plates being photographed by government agents. That's where the Tea Party is, intimidated out of business by the tyrant in chief.
Savage.
Look, I want to talk to you about the most important book I've ever written. I believe it's going to be my last nonfiction book, Trickle Down Tyranny.
Joining us now, Michael Savage, my friend, radio host extraordinaire, author of the brand new New York Times bestseller, number 3 on the list, Trickle Down Tyranny, Crushing Obama's Dream of a Socialist States of America. Michael, how are you?
Diane Sawyer is, by the way, contrary to public opinion, not Tom Sawyer's grandmother.
what did you make of that?
No, it's so absurd. You know what it is. It's like she's poor all of a sudden. She's down with the people. She's part of the 99%, Diane Sawyer. You know what I'm saying? You know, this is so ludicrous. Who would believe a word that this harridan says? You know, I looked up the word tyrant since my book, Trickle Down Tyranny, seems to be popular. People don't understand that it's not hype. It's reality. Why do I refer the commander-in-chief that we have today as a tyrant as opposed to a president? If you look at the root of the word tyrant, if you look at the root of the word tyrant, see, it's all about how you say it. It's from the Greek, a lord, sovereign, master. Now, doesn't Obama come across as a lord, sovereign, master, Laura, rather than a president of the people, by the people, and for the people?
No, he's a self-imposed, self-created monarch. But as we heard yesterday on Capitol Hill, the real despot is Mitt Romney. We actually have a congressman. Play the soundbite, please. A congressman referring to Mitt Romney as the true despot here. Let's listen.
You know, when we look at despots from foreign countries putting their money in Swiss bank accounts, we always have frowned upon that. And I don't see us saying that people of wealth, especially people wanting to be president of the United States and parking money in a Swiss bank account.
Swiss
bank
account.
Who is that clown?
James Clyburn. James Clyburn, who has become... You know, he's a powerful spokesman for the left.
Isn't Clyburn the same one who said, let's take out the Tea Party along with the other members of the Congressional Black Caucus?
No, I think certainly we've seen them fully exposed in recent years. But
not to lose the thread of the show, and meaning of your time, and I don't want to waste it. The fact of the matter is we're living through desperate times with Obama. This is not a laughing matter. It's not a matter of Republican versus Democrat or even Romney versus Obama. It's a choice between America or something other than America. Obama has claimed over and over again he's a transformational president, and he has not yet begun to fight. He said he will do so in his second term. What does that mean? What is the model he's using, Laura? Is it Beijing? Is it Caracas? Is it Syria? What is he using as a model for the country he wants to create? That's why I say trickle-down tyranny is the last chance that I think I'm going to have to alter the course of human history. This man is a clear and present danger to the survival of this republic, and I put my career on the line with this book, Laura. You know the danger I put myself in by saying things like this. These are dangerous people.
No, you think they're going to physically harm you?
No comment.
Hmm.
I know that they're trying to destroy me in radio. I know that they're trying to destroy you in radio. You know
well,
that,
this
don't
is
you?
The, yeah, they're trying to. They have to shut down any real opposition. That's what a tyranny does, and that's how they operate, and that's how individuals who can't actually be judged on their records have to operate. They have to destroy the opposition.
Well, the whole conservative listener base has always feared the so-called fairness doctrine. Obama is so many steps ahead of that, it's not funny. I was told through an insider who was sitting in on a meeting just last week, and I'll never divulge the sources, through a third party, that your name, my name, and the others, right up to Rush, there were four of us, in the top four shows in the country, are being targeted by the Obama administration for removal from the air, not by hurting us, but by going to the station group owners and putting pressure on them that if they don't drop our show, certain things will happen. If this is not tyranny, I'd like to know what is, Laura.
And an intimidation campaign.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
No, it certainly does. And I think everyone listening to the show, I think you can hear the tone of my voice and hear Michael's voice. We're deadly serious about this. And if people want to sit on the sidelines and say, oh, there's nothing I can do about it, just the way it is, then be prepared to lose your country. And you asked what country he's modeling the United States on. Well, an interesting development, which you may or may not have seen, Michael, Argentina moving to seize control of one of the major oil companies in Argentina. Argentina's president, Fernandez de Kirchner, announced Monday that the government would seize a majority stake in YPF, the nation's largest oil company. And they're doing so, of course, for the public good, nationalizing major industries.
Obama is the most polarizing president in our history. The only question I ask in trickle-down tyranny is, what does he want to transform this country into? Caracas, Beijing, Moscow, Tehran? What in the world is his model? What is his model? Print more money, cripple American taxpayers with unlimited debt, ship weapons to Mexico, hobble the most powerful military in the world. What are you doing to stop Iran from knocking the Jews off the planet, Mr. Obama? In trickle-down tyranny, I say, listen, okay, let's put it this way. Laura, you've got a huge audience, right? So let me ask the Democrats and the independents amongst Laura Ingraham's audience the following question, okay? Do you think that this country today under Obama is a land where poverty is rewarded? Check yes. Is it a country where success is punished, as you showed with Diane Sawyer? Even that Harrington is making believe she's on the side of the loser? Yes. Is it a country now under Obama where our worst enemies are praised but our allies like Israel are stiffed? Check yes. Is it a country where the military is used as a pawn? Check yes. Is it a country where our borders are descending into chaos? Check yes. And finally, Laura, is it a nation where corporations and cronies are making off with all the wealth, such as Warren Buffett with his buffet rule? Check yes. Don't you love how Warren Buffet visits the White House, gets an insider tip, invests in Bank of America the next day, makes $300 million or so, and then gives a speech that we should all pay more? I mean, I love it, Laura. It's just a great no play here right out of ancient Japan.
It's so predictable from the too big to fail flop of this administration. Oh, well, we can't let the banks get too big because then one goes down and the whole economy goes down. Five banks are controlling more wealth than ever. Five top banks in the United States, bigger than they were than before the financial crisis. So in every objective metric, the administration has failed. Even the tests that it set up for itself, it's failed. And yet we're led down this road of likability. Oh, he's more likable. His wife is so nice. She does all the stuff for the troops. And isn't it great
we're
working out and eating better? And the likability. And Mitt Romney is not relatable. And he doesn't relate to the people.
I think he does. I think they're wrong, Laura. Come on. They know that Mitt Romney's far more attractive than President Obama. We're not talking about race here. We're talking about likability. Mitt Romney's a genuinely nice person. Yes, he's a moderate Republican. Yes, he's a liberal Republican. Yes, he's too liberal for my taste. But nevertheless, I would sleep better at night. And frankly, so would most of America sleep better at night with Mitt Romney in the White House. We have no idea where Obama's loyalties lie, do we?
Well, I think we know one thing. Where they certainly don't lie in the free market and capitalism. And all of this is designed to bring capitalism to heel and reinvigorate the sense of a government in control of the people, and that the only way that people can be saved is by government means and government programs. And the more people you can get to buy into that, the more they'll want to tax the rich people to keep fueling the thing that helps them, which is the government. So it's all a self-fulfilling prophecy of doom.
You know, remember the stimulus project?
Unfortunately,
billions
yes.
of dollars. Billions of dollars, right? Funded by the economic stimulus legislation by Obama in 2009.
Yep.
A shovel-ready project in San Francisco to move one shrub cost $205,000 to translocate one shrub in the path of a highway. $205,000. So when you heard from Obama's minions that these are shovel-ready projects, well, they were telling the truth, Laura, because they meant it was a project in which they could shovel money into their bank accounts and into the bank accounts of their contractor friends. Remember the number, $205,000 to translocate one shrub from the path of a stimulus project highway in San Francisco. It's all in Michael Savage's new smasheroo.
Trickle-down congratulations tyranny. On the book, man. That's fantastic.
Laura, but let me tell you, Laura, without you, I have no other outlets. You know that I'm banned on virtually every show in America.
Well, I'm not for banning. I really don't ban. I mean, I guess I could have more liberals on the show. I invite them on. They don't usually want to come. But I don't like banning unless someone is purposely profane or I don't really think that serves a purpose.
No, then they get invited to the White House. No, if they're purposely profane and hate America, they get invited to the Rose Garden.
Yeah, they get shows on HBO on a Friday night, like
absolutely.
Bill
Maher,
still trashing Ann Romney.
It's a world upside down, Laura. It's a world upside down. If you're a person of achievement with education, you're not woke a joint on the in the Rose Garden. It's unbelievable to me. It's as though we have gone through that revolution that Mao Zedong promised the Chinese, and you know where that led.
60 million dead. Yeah, 55 million, 57 million. Now we have a situation where the kids are more mature than the parents by telling the parents, hey, you know, make an honest woman out of her. Get married, Dad. That's apparently what happened with Brad and Angelina. Upside down world, Michael.
Why are we reading about a publicity stunt for 1 week at the same time Obama has destroyed NASA, bungled North Korea? I mean, think about this. The greatest foreign policy disaster in his career was North Korea launching a rocket, basically putting a finger up in the air saying, we don't care what you say. This is on the heels of the Arab Spring blowing up into the Arab winter. Hillary Clinton's greatest policy disasters, seen swilling beer in Cartagena, Colombia, like, you know, let's all party on, you know, on the deck of the Titanic. This is one foreign policy disaster after another, all covered up by the midstream media about a stupid actor and his engagement ring.
Well, it's the purposeful distraction of the electorate during a campaign season where the incumbent Democrat favorite son president is, by any objective standard, a failure. And so
midstream media. Midstream media.
Yeah, keep the public focused on all the things that don't matter. What's going to happen to American Idol next year? You know, well, we're living through American Idol, okay? But guess what? Our votes might not count. You actually have more chance of affecting the American Idol outcome, a lot of people think, than you have a chance at affecting this election. That's a sad thing.
Laura.
Michael, you can close it out. We got 20 seconds, my friend.
Here we go. Trickle-down tyranny. One paragraph is worth the entire book. Take a guess who's counting your votes. A Spanish firm, a Spanish holding firm, owns the vote counting machines. Check it out, folks.
Savage.
So there we are. Taxes, taxes, taxes. Death and taxes. The only sure things in life are death and taxes. No one objects to paying taxes. I don't. I like paying my taxes. If only they went for the military, for example, and to paving roads instead of hot tub parties in Las Vegas by GSA officials. If only the taxes went for filling potholes and funding the military properly instead of paying for Panetta's flights to Monterey every weekend in a G550. If only it paid for the military and filling potholes instead of the president showboating on trips around the world, pretending that he's doing national business when in fact it's all a vacation and a fundraiser. Yeah, if only, if only, if only. Let's go to the callers, 1-800-449-8255. Visit me online. Keep in touch with me at michaelsavage.com. Gina, New York, WOR, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Okay, Dr. Savage, I'm calling you because I bought the book, Trickle Down Tyranny, the first day it came out. I went to Walmart in Phillipsburg, New Jersey, and it was displayed near the floor, but there was two copies. I picked one copy up, paid for it, went out the store. My boyfriend saw it. He wants a copy, so we get in the car, go back. They're sold out. Sold out the Walmart in Pennsylvania's, and I'm looking for the book. I can't find it. So
you're saying it's selling well west of the Hudson River in the smart areas of New York where everyone knows everything. It's not selling. Is that, in other words, west of the Hudson in flyover country, the geeks are buying the book. But the smart people who hate America, the smart people who are deviants, the smart people who know everything, they don't like the book. Is that it?
I don't know. I guess the book, I can't find it.
I'm just joking. I couldn't resist that. No, it's selling very well in New York City as well, believe it or not, because whether you know it or not, even in so-called liberal cities, there's about a 30% margin of Republican conservatives in every city. It's a strange phenomenon, isn't it? But they haven't yet snuffed out the 30% who are not Democrats, even in liberal towns. There's still a 30% of the population that's quite conservative. They never heard from. You don't hear from them in the Daily News or any of the other outlets in the city, but they do exist. One out of three people don't like Obama. At least one out of three people know this is a nauseating administration. They know it's an imperious administration. They know it's bordering on a criminal administration in many cases. And they know that it's a seditious administration in many cases. And yes, they are the audience that Obama is targeting for, let us put it to you this way, marginalization. It's not good enough that they're only a minority population. What they really want is an annihilation of this population in terms of a political voice. Now, if that's not tyranny, I'd like to know what is. And this is only one man's opinion. But let's go back to some of the stories of the day. No, let me take some calls. I mean, these are big deals. The Hookergate is a big story. It's not going to go away because there's much more to it than meets the eye. Much bigger than you think. It's not just guys having a good time. When you got guys whose job it is to protect the president of the United States, and let me pause right there. This is really not even about Obama. This is about a culture of, I'm searching for the right word, laxness, lax behavior. Where did they get the idea they could dress in undershirts and run around with hookers? Who gave them that idea? Who let them have this idea that it's just a, you know, the heck with it job? The guys came out today, had the president's schedule with them. Now, let's analyze this together. Hookergate. They're naked in a room with hookers in Cartagena, Colombia, a country known for certain products, and it's not Juan Valdez's coffee. You're telling me that the president's schedule is sitting on a desk in a hooker's bedroom, along with their wallets, which contain their personal ID and their home addresses, along with their service revolvers, which have identification numbers on them. You're telling me that's not a breach of security? I believe it is. So you say, well, you know, they shouldn't have done it. No, they shouldn't. But does it trickle up to the president? Yes, it does. Why do I say that? Is it a leap in faith to believe that the attitude of the president towards our national security is what led to this? Here is a man, as I point out over and over again, who praises our worst enemies. He had the Muslim Brotherhood from Egypt in the White House 2 weeks ago, and yet he sneers at Israel. He treats our enemies like friends and our friends like enemies. And you don't think this trickles down from the top? I would disagree. I disagree with you. I respectfully disagree with you. You'd look at the comportment of the president. You look at the people he's had in the White House, the basketball games, the type of low-life entertainers. These are not even high-end entertainers. These are the lowest. These are gutter snipes that he has in the White House boasting afterwards in private clubs about the kind of things they did there, the things they said there, the racist statements they make in the White House after a party like that. It was sickening. And you know, let's turn the – many of you can't even understand what I'm saying. Let us say a president was elected who had, prior to being elected, sat in a church where the preacher was a member of the Ku Klux Klan. Never would have happened, would it? Well, Reverend Wright is the opposite equivalent of the Ku Klux Klan. And then some of his friends are invited to the White House 2 years later who actually speak like the Ku Klux Klan. Couldn't happen. Well, it just did. The opposite equivalent of the Ku Klux Klan has been in and out of the White House. And if you think I'm making this up for effect, you are mistaken. You're very mistaken, but you can't see any of this because you're interested in whether some over-the-hill actress was given a fake engagement ring by an over-the-hill actor husband. 10 days in the media about an engagement ring by two old actors. Can you believe this? That's the power of the sewer pipe coming out of Hollywood.
Set. Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now the audio part of the show. You have to hear some of this sound stuff, including President Obama, you know, talking about the Secret Service scandal as though it's nothing.
On the Secret Service, these men and women perform extraordinary service on a day-to-day basis, protecting me, my family, U.S. officials. They do very hard work under very stressful circumstances and almost invariably do an outstanding job. And so I'm very grateful to the work that they do. What happened here in Colombia is being investigated by the director of the Secret Service. I expect that investigation to be thorough, and I expect it to be rigorous. If it turns out that some of the allegations that have been made in the press are confirmed, then of course I'll be angry. Because my attitude with respect to the Secret Service personnel is no different than what I expect out of my delegation that's sitting here. We're representing the people of the United States. And when we travel to another country, I expect us to observe the highest standards because we're not just representing ourselves. We're here on behalf of our people. And that means that we conduct ourselves with the utmost dignity and probity. And obviously what's been reported doesn't match up with those standards.
And here's Secretary of the Defense, Panetta, talking about his traveling to and from California, which cost $800,000. $800,000.
For 40 years that I've been in this town, I've gone home because my wife and family are there, and because, frankly, I think it's healthy to get out of Washington periodically just to get your mind straight and your perspective straight. But clearly in this job, I've flown home commercially. In this job, I'm obligated to be in touch with communications and that I have to fly on a secure plane. I regret that it does add costs that the taxpayer has to pick up. A taxpayer would have to pick up those costs with any Secretary of State or a Secretary of Defense. Having said that, I am trying to look at what are the alternatives here that I can look at that might possibly be able to save funds and at the same time be able to fulfill my responsibilities not only to my job but to my family.
Now you have to hear Congressman Mike Kelly unload on a former GSA chief.
You know, I've got to tell you. That thank God this time what happened in Vegas didn't stay in Vegas. The disappointment of these hardworking American taxpayers to know that the GAS, the watchdog, the people were going to make sure, they have an obsession with no waste to see this go on day after day in our government, asking people to give more of what they have, dipping into what they have to support a government that wastes more and more of their money. I don't think anybody minds paying taxes if the money's well spent. They sure as heck resent the fact that a government that tells them they have to pay more of their fair share cannot cut back anywhere. In fact, when you folks come in and you're in charge of it, you can't even answer the questions, who did what, when did you know about it, what did you decide to do about it? Who the heck is the watchdog?
Now let's look at the news on michaelsavage.com, your only home on the web, home of the Savage Nation, borders, language, and culture. Well, thank you. Trickle-down tyranny is number two on the Wall Street Journal's bestseller list. That's right. All because of you, the Savage audience. Number two on the Wall Street Journal's bestseller lists. Thanks for reading michaelsavage.com. Top right, Secret Service prostitutes may be underage girls. Possible security breach. They had the president's schedule in rooms where they brought prostitutes. I told you this was a big story. Obama's plan to control the oceans. Beyond belief what this man is, a tyrant from top to bottom. Check out Obama's GSA at work in a Vegas hot tub. In a Vegas hot tub, joking about how they were robbing the taxpayer. You bum, you. Subsidized bankrupt Solyndra managers got $368,000 in court-ordered bonuses. Nice, huh? Panetta's commuting tab, about $860,000 so far. He flies in a C-17. Sounds innocuous, huh? Well, I looked it up. The C-17 is actually a $66 million Gulfstream 550. President gave speech at Hooker's Point as Hookergate erupted. New York's poverty rate rises. Somali gangs on trial in Nashville, Tennessee for sex trafficking. But they're using cultural issues to gum up the courts, saying that they're not really the age they say they are, that there are no birth records for Somalis. They're really juvies. Isn't that nice? Isn't it nice? Isn't culturalism nice, multiculturalism? Somali gangs, prostitutes, that can't be happening. They're just oppressed Muslims from Somalia, right? Michael Savage's sobering wake-up call. The book is Trickle Down Tyranny. Read the review. Trickle Down Tyranny is the blueprint for defeating Obama, says the conservative beacon. Did you buy it yet? Why not? Diana's niece and the royal send-up. Take a look at the so-called royal family, and you wonder why I'm banned in Britain. Yeah, well, I can't even explain the picture. You have to look at it. Another burqa robbery in Philadelphia. The male suspect was clothed in Muslim garb. Garb. I think that's a part of a word, isn't it, garb? Loyal dog reunited with family. This is a real touching story. A dog got hit and killed on a highway in L.A. A black lab didn't even know the dog, ran out there and sat on the road. I got tears in my eyes, I swear to you. A black lab runs out and sits next to the dead dog. Unbelievable to me. A good Samaritan sees what's happening, stops his car and stops traffic, and then they adopted this dog. I mean, this is unbelievable. If only people were like black labs. Unbelievable story. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation.
What we need is a change either of Congress or we need Republicans to change their mind. I think this has to be an important debate during throughout the country. What I've said to Latinos across the United States is that my passion for this issue is undiminished, that when it comes to, for example, the Dream Kids, mm-hmm. and who have been raised as Americans and see themselves as Americans and want to serve their country or are willing to work hard in school and start businesses or work in our laboratories and in our businesses, it is shameful that we cannot get that done. I'm just going to keep on pushing as hard as I can. And what I'm going to be encouraging is the Latino community continue to ask every member of Congress where they stand on these issues. I will do everything that I can to try to get it done. But ultimately, I'm going to need Congress to help me.
You know how much that irritates me? Well, just think how your throat would feel this spring without Pine Brothers softish throat drops. Remember Pine Brothers? Those soft, delicious throat drops we all grew up with. The ones your parents bought to soothe you when you had a sore throat, that you couldn't stop eating after your throat got better. Well, they're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors, and they're just as wonderful and effective as you can remember. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothers.com.
Savage.
on the Secret Service. These men and women perform extraordinary service on a day-to-day basis, protecting me, my family, U.S. officials. They do very hard work under very stressful circumstances and almost invariably do an outstanding job. And so I'm very grateful to the work that they do. What happened here in Colombia is being investigated by the director of the Secret Service. I expect that investigation to be thorough, and I expect it to be rigorous.
We met in a dream. You
what month is this? What year is it? Where am I? What's the next holiday the average worker has to look forward to? Now, the average person sitting on a couch collecting a food stamp and a government check and the government cheese, every day is a holiday for them. And so April, what is the next? Is July, the next holiday is Memorial Day weekend, right? Oh, my God. The average worker works so hard in this country. It's frightening. It really is. It's hard making a living in this country supporting the Obama voters. It really is murder. Like, you know, he ain't heavy, Father. He's my brother. All right, let's take some callers on the Savage Nation. New York City, WOR. Taylor, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Savage. My name's Taylor. I'm a young conservative. I'm actually from Long Island. I've been reading Trickle Down Tyranny, and I'm up to the part where you're talking about this whole Soros versus Rupert Murdoch thing. And it really, you know, it inspires me. I've heard about conspiracy theories my whole life, but when you talk about it in this book, it doesn't sound like a conspiracy theory. This stuff sounds real. And I just want to hear more of your take on this whole New World Order thing.
Mm-hmm. So how old are you, Taylor?
21 years old.
And how did you become a conservative that you're even reading a book of mine? I mean, you should be smoking a joint and watching a sporting match, shouldn't you?
Well, I used to be smoking joints and doing all those drugs, and I was a diehard liberal who supported Obama and everything he did. But I realized after I quit the drugs that I became much more conservative. Actually,
now you know why they want medical marijuana approved in 50 states, because the dopier they are, the more easily they are gulled into believing this man is not a communist and that he's out for the interests of the average American worker. Now you understand everything you ever needed to know. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny for the next liberal girl that you meet in a, well, I don't know where you go now. I can't imagine. I don't think you go to AA meetings or anything, but 21 years old and conservative. I can't imagine what he'll be like at 40. Oh, God. Can you imagine if you're conservative at 21, what you'll be at 30, then 40, then 50? This guy at 70 will be a member of a, I don't know, some far, far something. There's a far, far righter place I go than I've ever. There's a far, far righter place I go than I've ever been. I can't yell on the show because if I yell, I risk alienating the new tone of radio. Now it has to be civil. It has to be very civil. Only the other side's allowed to yell and scream and curse and attack you. Racial bias suit against top cop tossed. Oh, good news. An officer collapses in courtroom after jury rejects accusations of 7 black policemen against Richmond Police Chief Chris Magnus. That's the latest racket. They hire black people because they're forced to by the Justice Department. Then they're sued for being racist because they didn't make him a police chief the first year. Contra Costa, California jury rejected accusation of racial discrimination filed by 7 black police officers against Richmond Police Chief Chris Magnus, throwing out all claims of harassment and bias and awarding no damages. Oh, well, there's a case for the reverends. They got to come in now and override the jury. You got to bring in Reverend Wrong and Reverend Jackson and Reverend High Jackson and Reverend Low Jackson and Reverend Mo Jackson and Reverend whatever Jackson. So the plaintiff collapsed in his seat. One of the plaintiffs collapsed. I guess he isn't going to get that vacation in Boca Raton with a fortune based upon what his lawyer told him. The jury also cleared now retired Deputy Chief Lori Ritter and the city of Richmond of wrongdoing in the case. Both are white. In the racial discriminate lawsuit, they were all sued for $18 million in comp. Why? They said that after taking office, the white officer quickly favored staff that was not African-American, including promoting Ritter over black officers, and made racially insensitive remarks, blah, blah, blah. His attorney counted that the plaintiffs resented him because he was white, gay, and an out. Oh!
Oh, now there's the new battle going on. Richmond put in a gay white man as police chief, say he was attacked by blacks now. You hear this? This is amazing what's going on. It's the left eating the left. No one wins in a case like this. I don't see winners or losers. There's no winners or losers in this kind of hatred. The only winner is the lawyer. This is a big deal what's going on. There's a low-grade race war going on in America because Obama wants it to happen. This is how he survives, through division, through strife, turning one group against another. So this case now, no racial bias by Richmond, California police chief. Seven black police officers against white police chief Chris Magnus, who is gay. They lose today because the city didn't cave into a settlement to their shyster lawyer. They lose. And one of these seven black officers collapses in his chair. Why would he collapse? Just because they lost? I mean, he saw the Mercedes already and the vacation in Boca, the house, the vacation. It's a big lawsuit. And you got six people, $18 million bucks. That's $3 million ahead. That's good. $18 million in comp. So that's six guys figure take off the grift off the top for the lawyer, a 40%er. It still leaves about $2 million for each of them. So no wonder he fainted in the chair. This is a three-month trial, so the lawyer probably promised him you have $2 million. He already spent it in his mind. The car already, the house, the vacation home, no more work. The guy, of course, he fainted in the chair, has to go back to work now. Anyway, this is good news, very good news. All right, let's take the caller. Sharon in Pittsburgh, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I was so excited I had to call you. I was in Barnes & Noble in Pittsburgh, and I picked up your book, and there were only three left on the shelf.
I'm read in Pittsburgh, PA, one of the finest cities on the eastern seaboard, even though it's not on the seaboard. I lived in Pittsburgh for a while. I love the city. You know, I almost moved there. I almost bought a house. Isn't there Chestnut Hill there?
Yeah. Oh, well, Pittsburgh is great. And I was just so surprised that there was only three left. I was all excited because
how could they read my book in Pittsburgh, where I think it's mainly Democrat, isn't it?
It is. It's disgusting.
No, I lived there for a while. I was doing consulting in the vitamin business, and I came to really love the city. It had all of the charms in some ways of a New York, yet it was smaller. It was beautiful. The museum there is first-rate museum. Some of the greatest thought in the world is in your city. One of the finest medical schools in the world. The river is gorgeous. The bridges are great. It's a very quaint and yet very modern city. I love Pittsburgh.
It is. And how about the scene coming out of the tunnels from the airport, and then boom, like the city's right there.
No, I do. I did enjoy it. But all right, fate took me back to the lovely land of the green-haired bicycle rider who likes to run people over in crosswalks. Hey, thanks for that report. I'd send you a free book, but you already have one, so what's the point?
Savage.
Well, now that the GOP primary is finally over, what does Mitt Romney really need to do to defeat Barack Obama? Well, I've told you what I think. I've written about it in Advice to the Next President in Trickle-Down Tyranny. Well, let's hear her opinion. Let's talk to the executive director of the Edmund Burke Institute, Dr. Grace Vuitto. Dr. Grace, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you.
So in your opinion, what does Romney need to do to defeat Barack Obama?
One of the key constituencies that Romney has to win over are women. The general election is now on, and the battle for the female vote is on. This is a really tough hurdle for Republicans to climb because they consistently lose the female vote. In 37 years, the only time that they won a majority of the female vote was in 2010. So essentially, in order to win the election, Romney has to do something that is really quite revolutionary for the Republican Party: capture the majority of the female vote.
I believe the most important voting bloc in this upcoming general election is the conservative base. What do you think?
Well, I think that the women's vote is a really key one, especially in battleground states. You have current polls showing that among 12 of the key battleground states, women are trending towards Obama. And nationally, Obama is leading Romney among women by a huge margin. One of the latest polls says that margin is as wide as 55% support Obama and 37% support Romney. So Romney has a lot of work to do to win the female vote. And if he doesn't win the female vote, it's highly unlikely that he can win the general election.
What does Romney need to do to attract the female vote?
Okay, what Romney must do is, first of all, he has to stop making the mistakes that other conservative candidates have made when they do try to win over women. And this really consists of making two huge errors, basically fighting on the ideological turf of liberals. You know, Michael, I find that one of the most frustrating things that I've observed in my many years as an analyst is that conservatives have an ideology that I think is the right ideology, and yet often they accept so many liberal premises, even in the way that they speak and the way that they argue and the things that they do. So the first thing Romney has to do is he's got to reject two key liberal premises that prevent women from voting for the GOP. And let's untangle each one of these. The first is this. Liberals think or assume or talk as though women care primarily about their reproductive rights. In reality, this is not true. I mean, let's be honest here. Abortion and contraception, these are now facts of life. I mean, there's no woman that I know who sits around the kitchen table saying, you know what, I'm really concerned about abortion rights in 2012. I'm really, really concerned about contraceptive rights. You know, I challenge any member of the audience out there to say, when was the last time you heard women talking about this? I myself am an extremely outgoing woman, talk to all kinds of people, whether they are liberal or conservative. We never sit around talking about our reproductive rights. This is a caricature of who women are in 2012. And so I think that conservatives have to understand, take this issue off the table. It's not relevant to your average woman. Not today, not now. There are other issues that are much more pressing. I think that conservatives accept this crazy liberal idea that women are primarily concerned about their sexuality. They're obsessed about their sexuality and their sexual rights. This is a crazy caricature. Women have their sexual lives in balance. It's in proportion in their life, just like men do nowadays. So we don't need any special focus on this. And I think the more the conservatives do that, the more they're getting trapped into the liberal ideology. So my first advice is, reject the premise that women care primarily about their reproductive rights. It's just not so. Even recently, a poll that I looked at, I was just so happy to see that they actually have it there in black and white. Women who are favoring Obama, they were asked, you know, what is your view on the HHS mandate and this whole strategy, you know, that the Democrats are saying that the Republicans have a war on women. And 8 out of 10 women polled who were supporting Obama said, I don't even know what this HHS mandate is. And that's my point. A lot of this kind of talk, it is coming from the Democratic campaign, from the Obama campaign. It is just a trap to get the GOP to talk about things that are not really relevant to your average woman. So that's point number one. Let's reject that premise. The second premise that the GOP has to reject is basically they are being, in a sense, they're not being true to their own ideology on the campaign trail. And let me explain that. The GOP and conservatives in general, we are the ones who argue that there are natural inherent differences among men and women. We are the ones who say that that is part of God's plan. God designed the species as male and female, and this does translate into certain qualities that are unique to each species. It doesn't mean that, you know, women are inferior to men, but conservatives understand there are these natural differences. And yet, on the campaign trail, whenever you see a conservative candidate talk about men and women, they accept the liberal premises that men and women are completely equal and the same. And I'll tell you what I mean. You never see a conservative candidate speaking any differently about a woman than a man. So everything that a conservative says about a woman is really bland and generic. In essence, Michael, what's really happening is that this ideology of political correctness makes conservative candidates reject the fundamental premise of their own ideology, which is that men and women are indeed inherently different. And if you're going to attract women, you do have to speak to them differently than you speak to men. So this is a key point. Conservative candidates have to reject the idea that the sexes are the same. That's the liberal premise that they are accepting, even though it is contrary to conservative ideology.
Why do you think the Democrats are trying to portray the GOP as having a war on women? It's about abortion, isn't it?
Well, I think that what they're trying to do is they're trying to distract the the GOP from the key issue. And they're not doing it just with women. They're doing it with everything, right? They're trying to make the next election about a tax plan the Buffett rule, for example. They're trying to make the election anything other than Obama's record. And so when it comes to trying to win over this key constituency, they want to deflect attention from their own failed economic record. So they have an overall strategy, appeal to each constituency specifically by, you know, with a specific strategy, but the overall objective is to prevent us talking about how badly this president has failed every citizen of every gender and race and ideological, group in this country.
Dr. Grace, what issues really matter most to women?
Well, I want to point out two things. The GOP candidate that's going to win over women has to do what a man naturally does when he courts a woman. You know, when a man in daily life tries to win over a woman's heart, he does certain things that appeal to her emotions, her intuitions, her sense of compassion. He kindles affection in a woman when he seeks to court her. Well, my recommendation to the GOP is try to apply the same strategy that a male applies in romancing a woman, try to apply that to women as a whole. And the first thing that has to be done is address women specifically and directly. When a man courts a woman, he makes her feel that she is unique and special. And the GOP candidate has to make women feel that they are important in this campaign. So address them specifically. In addition, women do often respond to a communication strategy which personalizes an issue. For example, if you want to talk about how the economy is affecting workers, identify a specific person who is suffering in this economy. That does kindle more interest from females. In addition, one of the things that the GOP candidate should do is they should just address women's issues more directly, because this makes women feel that they are relevant, that they count in this party. For example, talk about domestic violence, talk about sexual harassment, rape, talk about crimes against women and children, talk about specific women's illnesses like breast cancer, ovarian cancer, bulimia, anorexia. This does not mean that the candidate has to propose a government program, but you can use some of these things as examples in your speeches. And whenever you specifically reference women's needs, women's issues, a woman will think, okay, they know that I am different than a man. They understand that I have specific needs. I am being courted. I am unique. I matter in this party. And that's a message that women are not hearing. You know, in contrast, Democrats are always telling women that they really, really matter in their party, even though, you know, in reality, you and I know that the policies that they enact are contrary to women's interests. But the point is, Democrats court the female vote. They make women feel like they're important, whereas the GOP never does that, and it's time that we do that, and we should do it according to our ideological premises.
Dr. Grace, thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
Michael, it was great talking to you, and those who are interested can read my article, Can Romney Capture the Female Vote? It's at Dr. Grace's latest column at the EdmundBurkeInstitute.org.
This is The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Get into heaven? Let me tell you who's going to get into heaven, Santorum. Let me tell you who's going to get into heaven, Mitt Romney. Let me tell you who's going to get into heaven, Tea Party. When I was hungry, you fed me. You didn't cut food stamps. When I was thirsty.
Oh, you lying hypocrite. You live in a gated community, $1 million house, you liar, you. I can't take any more of the hypocrisy of these fake reverends, can you? I can't stand it. Now, if he was just another street preacher who had no history tied to the presidency, we would say it's a redundancy. But the fact of the matter is, this man is out there again, and I'm the only one who seems to be playing it. So if you'd rather I don't tell me, if you say, oh, I've heard it before, we don't care about Reverend Wright, then say I don't care about Bill Ayers,
then say I don't care about any of the other connections to Obama's connections to Marxism. Please don't tell me anything about his desire to destroy the petroleum industry. Please don't tell me anything about his desire to raise gas prices. Please don't tell me about his desire to raise food prices. Please don't tell me about his desire to make people a pit against one another, black against white, white against black. Please don't tell me about any of those things because I don't want to hear it. And you're the bad guy for being the bearer of bad tidings. Kill the messenger. Kill the messenger. Throw him off the radio show. Kill the messenger. Throw him off the radio show. And then just put on a light conversation. Light conversation. Light conversation. Light conversation. And then let these racists rail all over the media. Let these racists rail in the streets. Let these racists attack you, but say nothing about it. Let them attack Thomas Jefferson and Franklin Delano Roosevelt, calling them ignorant, and I should say nothing. I'm an educated man. I can guarantee you as I sit here that this fraud, this Reverend Wrong, who attacked these people, never read them. I can tell you right now, I can hear it in the cadence of his voice. He doesn't even know what the hell he's talking about or who wrote it for him. Who wrote the speech for him, attacking the leaders of the liberal enlightenment of the 18th century? Why would he attack them? A, because they're white. B, because they're real liberals, and C, because he wants a new feudalism ruled by lords, inhabited by peasants. And who's the lord? In the hateful world of Reverend Wrong, Obama is the lord, and you're the peasant. So I'm not going to play much more of this. I can read you other news if this is making you uncomfortable. But you have to understand something. The gibberish that right is advocating from the pulpit of that church is what your daughter is being taught at Princeton. It's what your poor son, that little baby that you saw come from your womb, ladies, this little boy has had his brain destroyed at America's universities, being told that whites think they have privilege because they're white, that all whites are evil, all people of color are victims, all cops are bad, all criminals are good. You know that the number of cops being killed has gone up 78% last year? Do you think it has anything to do with the hatred coming out of some of these mouths? Why are more cops being killed even though crime is down? Why are more people shooting at cops than ever before? Anybody have an O word for that one? Oh, I don't know. Oh, I have no idea. Oh, I wish you didn't ask that. Oh, my, I think I'm going to listen to football. Oh, no, I don't want to hear that. Oh, I think I'm going to hear a baseball game. I think, oh, no, don't ask that. Why, cops are being killed in greater numbers than before O took office. Oh, don't say O. Whatever you do, oh, don't say O. Don't say O. No, no, no. Heck no, we won't say O. So, oh, go to michaelsavage.com for fun. If you want to see fun, go to my website. Why? Because I put up new pictures for my birthday party under the hook eye. The nice Muslim fellow with one eye and a hook. UK can extradite hook-handed cleric and four others to the U.S. He's Britain's most recognizable extremist. It's taken 4 years to deport him to America while they banned me without even giving me a trial. It took 4 years to deport this superb individual. One eye is coming here with the hook. I don't know whether or not he will be hired by the Justice Department to man the polling places. We don't know that yet. Allegedly, he's coming here to face terrorism charges, but it is possible that he is of such supreme character that he may be hired by Eric Holder to man a polling place in Boca Raton with the hook. There's the article. Violent crime falls as killing of officers rises. You know, when you're dead, you're dead. A disturbing trend has emerged. Cops are being killed. And most of them are white cops. Sorry, I'm sorry I had to say that. But all right, I'll say it. So where's the pictures of the party I put up? I don't know where Art put them. Ah, bottom left. Thanks, Art. That's where they belong. New photos of Dr. Savage's celebration. We've taken Teddy off the lead and put a beautiful woman up because I figured, I don't know, they like dogs, but they like women better. Now, why do I want you to look at these pictures? What do I know? What do I know why I want you to look at them? They're nice pictures. You'll see I actually have friends. You'll see that they're normal. You'll see that they smile. You'll see that they eat. You'll see the plates of food that they're... You'll see they're people just like you. No matter how you demonize me, the people are just like you and I. That's so nice people. Dog's nice. People are nice. It's all on the website. It's free. Nothing, not selling anything. The wedding cake is nice. And that's it. Nice pictures, new pictures. I'm going to put a few up again later. I don't know whether you want to hear any more about Dr. Wrong or Reverend Wrong, but we can do it if you want. I mean, you want me to talk about Reverend Wrong? Yes, we can. Yes, we can talk about Reverend Wrong all day long. Now that Vest is gone, we don't have to talk about Vest. We still have Tubby to deal with. I have nothing against overweight people because Chris Christie's a little overweight. I like about 50% of him. The other 50% I could do without. If Christie were to lose 50% of his girth, I hope the 50% that he loses is the liberal part of himself. But God knows, you see, that's the problem with a weight loss diet. If Chris Christie went on a crash diet to be more attractive as a VP candidate, right, with Romney, God knows the part of him he loses could be the conservative part. And then we'd be left with another Joe Biden. So you don't, you know, be careful what you wish for. You know where what is going to end up. He's got some bean on in this guy. Sometimes he speaks, and I like what he says. He says, nation now consists of people sitting on the couch waiting for the next government check. That I like. But I don't know which part of him it's coming from. Is it the fat part or the thin part? Because if he goes on to a diet, I don't know which part. You know, a lot of people, when they lose weight, they get mean and angry, and they become liberals. You see, in order to be a conservative, you know, heavy people are generally conservative because they're happier. They feel better about themselves. They let themselves go a little. But once you go on one of these extremist bicycle diets, where all they do is bike and have lean body mass and they're pinching themselves, they eat Pablum for breakfast and bananas for dinner, they never enjoy a minute of their lives, they become diehard psychotic left-wingers, run people over in San Francisco. That's going on. It's an epidemic here. Epidemic. The bicyclists are so out of control in San Francisco, they're killing people. At least one a week for the last few weeks are being knocked off their... Killed, hit by bicycles, injured by bicycles, killed by bicycles, riding the... I almost got killed last year. No cops. They won't do the job. And they hate me now, the police in San Francisco, for saying these things. I found out now that they don't like me because I dared say these things. All right, well, you can't win them all, you know. But somebody's got to rein in these bicyclists. Somebody has to put these people in prison for what they're doing. I ride a bike. I don't ride it backwards and hit people. I don't run red lights into crosswalks and kill elderly Chinese people and say whoops and then put it on my website like it's a joke and doesn't even get arrested for it. Where was I before I got distracted by bicyclists in jester costumes who are too thin? Oh, Chris Christie saying the nation's turning into people sitting on a couch waiting for the next government check. Yeah, but Chris, listen, that's only 50% of the people. Obama would like to see it at 90% of the people, not 50. You know, everybody should be sitting on a couch.